to Galatians 5. Be helpful as we look through some of these verses. And we're going to flick between Galatians and Romans 7 and 8. So if you want to get a finger in one section of Romans and the other in Galatians in the book of Galatians. Every Christian has been born again. We are new people. Everything has changed, as we've just sung about. Once we were far away. Once we lived in the darkness of our own sin. But now, through repentance, our lives are transformed by the grace of God, and we live in the light. And our life direction has utterly changed from going towards sin and death and hell, and now we go towards Christ, to life and light. But how does that all fit with the sin that I still see in my life as God's child? Many Christians struggle very deeply with this issue of how can I still say that I am a Christian when I still struggle so much with so many varied sins. If I was a Christian, then surely I wouldn't sin as I do. Actually, if you are an honest Christian, you will often confess that you are not what you long to be. The more you mature as a Christian, you may overcome some of the sins of immaturity and some of the more major sins, perhaps, that you once committed. But as you mature in Christ, you start to see more subtle sins and more hidden motivations that are wrong, that you know you should never be going down that direction. So even as you mature as God's child, you become more sensitive to sin, and more aware of your sin. You only have to read Romans 7, where the Apostle Paul, a most mature Christian, confesses to himself that he is still struggling with his awareness of how much he sins and how much he hates that sin. He says in Romans 7, "Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me." He wants to do good. His desire is not to sin because he has a new heart. But he confesses, even as an apostle, an ambassador of heaven, he still says, I still do things that I hate, things that are offensive to God. Why am I still like this? And yet, he follows it up just a few verses later in Romans 8, verse 1, by saying, there is no condemnation for those like me who are in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful contrast between Romans 7 and 8, isn't it? I still struggle with sin, and yet I am aware that in my position before God, I am in Christ, and there's no condemnation, even though I'm still failing and still doing what I hate. As Christians, we are living in this kind of contradiction. Constantly, day by day, of being aware that we are safe and secure in Christ, that Jesus Christ has won the victory of my sin. I am his and he is mine. He's my savior. I'm going to be with him forever. And yet, why am I still like this? Why do I still not overcome some of these stubborn sins? We as God's people are to desire, as Paul desires, to be like Christ, to hate our sins more, to be overcome them more, to be more like our Savior. We are to be shocked at our ongoing sin. We are to fight and struggle with it till our last breath. But we're also to be aware that in this fight, God does not condemn us, but that he loves us in Christ with a great passion. And like Paul, we'll say, I know I'm his. And I also know I hate my sin, my ongoing struggles. I hate it. I want to mortify it, kill it. I want to mercilessly destroy it every time it raises its ugly head. I want to stamp upon sin's head until I am like my Savior. He says this in Romans 8:13. He says, as a Christian, you'll want to put to death the misdeeds of your own body if you're truly Christ's. That is the passion of God's children as we wake up and as we go to sleep every day. I want to put to death this ongoing sin in my life. So coming back to Galatians 5, we see Paul describing this struggle as a war. We've been looking at this in Ephesians, haven't we? That the fact of the Christian life and the church is it's a war. And he describes it here as a war, not with flesh and blood, but with our own flesh, a war between our flesh and the Spirit of God. There's a struggle going on in each and every Christian's heart between the Spirit of God and all remaining flesh. We'll have a look at what that means in a moment. This is a great battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Now, recognizing that we are in this battle is a very important piece of the jigsaw as we seek to move forward and develop the picture of our Christian lives, to understand that a part of the struggle in our lives is just a reality, and it will always be a reality until we go into God's presence. If we don't understand this, we will live our entire Christian lives confused. How could I have done that? Why am I still not perfect? What's going on with me? I thought I'd beaten that off, and here it is raising its ugly head again. It's like one of those games. What is it? Whack-a-mole, is it? You knock one down, another one pops up, and you knock that down, another one pops up. And it's the kind of Christian life where it's constantly, you think, where did that come from? I never thought I'd do that or say that or think that. What's going on there? Will I forever be anything more than a miserable failure? If you grasp this evening, that this is the reality of every Christian, mature or not, it will empower you not only to see exactly where and why the battle is raging, but also how to win the battles through God's work and God's strength in us. Because we don't always have to give in to sin, because God's Spirit, as we'll see, is at work in us, and we can walk in the Spirit. We can overcome. So there's a battle raging. And here in Galatians, it's called the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Over in Romans, the same battle is called the battle between the law of sin and the law of grace. If you have Romans 8 open, it's the same battle, Romans 8 verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul says there that before we become a Christian, the law of sin is what rules us. We are governed by sin. Now, Romans is quite confusing when it talks about the word law. Paul uses the word law in so many different ways. You have to look at the context to decide how is he using this word law? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments? Is he talking about the government's law? What kind of law is he talking about? Well, in Romans chapter 8, he's using the word law in the same way that we would use the word principle or rule. Naturally, he's saying that without Christ in our lives, there is a law at work. It's a rule, it's a principle, it's a king, and it's the rule of sin. The principle of sin is what governs every life of those who do not know Christ as Savior. That's what controls, rules over a non-Christian each and every day. But when I become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in my life. God the Spirit becomes the king. He becomes the new ruler, defeating the old ruler of sin. No longer does sin rule in the life of a Christian, but the Spirit of God rules. He is the law of the Spirit. So in Romans 8 verse 2, he's using this word not to refer to the written commandments, but to talk about what rules and what governs us in our daily lives. And he says there, we're no longer under condemnation Because through Christ and the gospel, the Spirit has come to rule and to set us free from the rule of sin. But it's important for us to realize that though the Holy Spirit has come to rule and that sin no longer governs us, yet that old king, sin, doesn't give up the fight. It seeks to come back. He says in Romans 7:21, Paul says, I find this law, this rule at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. He says, the Spirit rules me, but that old king is constantly trying to get back in, creep his way back in and trying to overcome me. It's a battle between principles. It's a battle between rulers, authorities, laws, and it will continue until we are ushered into the presence of Jesus. You know, back in the Second World War, if you remember that horrific moment when, in order to win the Second World War against particularly Japan, those nuclear bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. It's a horrific moment. From that moment on, the war was effectively ended. Japan's power had gone. But they didn't stop fighting. Even in the 1980s, 40 years after Japan had surrendered, a Japanese soldier, was found, I think, in the jungles of Indonesia, still refusing to surrender, saying, I can get this. I can win this. I'm not giving in. Japan has not lost. Even though Britain and its allies had won the war, won the world war, yet there were still soldiers dying after the war had ended because there were still battles going on in many parts of the world. I read a biography a few years back of a Second World War British soldier who said how hard it was for him and his battalion, who was still fighting on the same day as Britain was celebrating and partying VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. He says, there were all my nation rejoicing and partying and celebrating in the streets, and there I was, and some of my fellow soldiers were losing their lives. Even though he'd won, there were still ongoing skirmishes, battles, mopping up fights. Now, this is really kind of what the war is all about. This law of sin and the law of the Spirit, or as Galatians puts it, the war between the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh, the Spirit has come in with this victorious nuclear bomb of grace. He's just exploded into our lives. He's taken over control. He's won the victory. Christ has said it is finished. He comes into our lives and takes over. And the war is won. And yet that old king says, that individual soldier in the jungle says, I've got this. I can win this. I can do this. And so sin will keep coming in and saying, no, I'm the king. I'm the victor. And though it's lost its power, yet it still creeps in, doesn't it? Day by day, this law of sin saying, I rule here. You have to submit to me. And when we forget the work of God in the gospel in our lives, then we go, oh, maybe I am still ruled by sin. Maybe it is a king that I should submit to. Maybe I think I will go that way this day, today, this moment. The flesh that Paul talks about in Galatians 5 is me when I momentarily think that sin is better than godliness. It's me when I ignore God's grace and mercy and I look for some gratification in some sinful thought or deed or word. You know, sometimes as Christians we think of the battle between the flesh and the Spirit as two equally opposing powers. The Spirit and the flesh, 50% in our lives, each warring against each other. But it's not like that at all. The Spirit rules the life of the believer. The gospel has won. Grace has intruded and won the war. And you can see that in Galatians 5 in two seemingly contradictory statements. Look at Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see what God has done in the gospel? He's killed sin. It's destroyed. He's killed its passions, its desires. The nuclear bomb of grace has killed the old me, the selfish, sin-loving me. But then look back at verse 16. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There is that me resistance movement that Paul says we must resist. That old king trying to creep back in. Don't give in to it. Don't gratify it. Don't give in to it, he says. Because there are still pockets of resistance. There is still that Al-Qaeda of the flesh that's holding out in its own enclaves that says, I can win back this Christian. I can get them back for myself. Be assured, it can never overcome us. Its war has already been lost. And yet it's going to take the rest of our lifetime to subdue these rebel forces of the flesh. I love what a writer called John Piper says. He says, be vigilant in your spiritual warfare. Don't hobnob with the defeated forces of the flesh. Look to the victory of Christ. Look to the atomic power of the Holy Spirit. And purge the districts of your body and soul from all the guerrilla troops of the flesh. So we have within us two opposing forces. One who will be victorious and is victorious. And the other, me, when I forget my new identity in Christ. When I turn from the gospel and try and find hope and joy and satisfaction in things that are not of God. When I cave into temptation instead of crying out to the Spirit to enable me to walk faithfully before him. Because the Spirit is victorious in a Christian's life, a genuine Christian is someone who wants to do what is right. We don't do what is right all the time, but we are passionate about doing what is right. So look at verse 17 of Galatians 5. Literally, verse 17 says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. In every Christian's life, from new birth until our resurrection bodies, we will be at war with these strong, often, pockets of resistance. And so you say tonight, well, you know, Paul, I want to beat off some serious guerrilla forces at work in me right now. How do I do that? Some strong temptation, some overwhelming desires coming at me like a force. How do I overcome that? How do I beat that? Well, no matter how many guerrilla forces of resistance there are, every army worth its salt never gives in. Never gives in. It keeps on fighting. It says, I will defeat this force. By the help of God, by the power of the Spirit, I will win the day. And so as Christians, we are never to stop battling against the flesh. But the question is how? How do I beat the flesh? Do I have to kind of stir up some sort of willpower in me? Do I have to find a list of seven steps to a successful Christian life? What kind of book is out there that goes through step by step and how to win this battle? Well, you know, some Christians imply that if you follow this new path and this new idea and this new philosophy from a new preacher, then we will win the day. But the answer is found in Galatians 5. The answer is not following a new man-made rule. The answer is found in Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit, or keep in step with the Spirit. This morning we looked at praying in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray truly according to God's power? Now we find that we are to walk in the power of the Spirit. We are to walk in step with the Spirit. So you're like, well, what does that mean? It sounds good, and I want to do that. I want to walk in step with the Spirit. Does that just mean I try harder? What does it mean? Well, it's much better than that. Galatians is teaching that keeping in step with the Spirit very simply means to daily fall in love with the gospel again. To love Christ, to keep our eyes on Christ. Because back in John 16, remember Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he says in John 16, 12 to 14, he says, you know, when I go back, my Father will send the Spirit to earth in my place. And the Spirit, when he comes, what will he do? Jesus says, he will point to me. He will remind you of the truth about me and what I have done. That I am going to the cross and I'm going to die for sinners. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to be victorious over sin. I'm going to declare it is finished and the work of God is complete. So when the Spirit comes, his main task in your life, in the Christian's life, is to point to the truth of the gospel, to remind us each day that Christ is victorious, that he is seated on the right hand of God, that he has risen from the dead. He has overcome sin and death and hell, not only out there somewhere, but in here somewhere, in our lives. He has won the victory. The work of the Spirit in our day, in our generation, is to point us to Christ. So how do I keep in step with the Spirit? I keep in step by the Spirit. I walk alongside the Spirit by doing what the Spirit does. To do to myself what the Spirit of God is doing to me each day. What is he doing? He's glorifying Jesus in my life. He is pointing me to Christ. He is reminding me of the gospel. He's bringing to memory again and again the things that I have learned on a Sunday, things that I thought I'd forgotten, things of the gospel, the victory of Christ. How do I do that to myself? How do I keep in step with the Spirit? By waking up each day, reminding myself of Christ, reminding myself of the promises of God, bringing to memory the work of Jesus, delving into the Bible, saying, I want to learn more about the gospel. I want Christ to be exalted in my life. I want to focus in on him alone because this is what the Spirit does. It makes much of Christ. So I want to make much of Christ. Now, I've got five short points to prove this to you, but you might want to switch off and come back afterwards. I don't know. But if you want to see how Galatians teaches this, there are five ways Galatians teaches this is what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. So bear with me if you would. So the first time Galatians teaches this is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says there, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. He's saying there that genuine faith in the gospel in Christ always, without exception, produces love. Faith produces love. It's in trusting Christ that the flesh is killed. That old way of life, as he talks about in Galatians 5, all those terrible fruits of the flesh, they are all killed, and the fruits of the Spirit are produced, namely love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control and so on. So faith, as we look away to Jesus Christ, as we keep our eyes fixed on him, as we do that, as we remind ourselves of the gospel, the Spirit comes in and produces within us the fruits of the Spirit, namely, particularly, love. So what chapter 5 or 6 is saying is that we keep in step with the Spirit not by doing some man-made rules, but through faith in Christ Jesus, by keeping our eyes on him, by trusting him. And as we do so, the Spirit of God then produces within us holiness, the holiness of love. So that's one way it talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. The second way is this, in Galatians 5, verse 5. He's saying the same thing again and again in different ways from different angles. Galatians 5, 5. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. How do we keep going and fighting sin till our dying day? How do we eagerly await that time when we will have perfectly done away with all of our remaining sin and the enemy king sin will have been finally defeated? How do we eagerly await that time? He says, by faith, by looking away from ourselves to Christ. And as we do that, day by day, moment by moment, step by step, keeping looking at Christ, not ourselves, not our own power, looking away to Christ and the gospel, that moment by moment faith will keep us faithful to the end until the return of our Savior. We wait for Christ through the Spirit by keeping our eyes on Christ by faith. And then there's a third way, he says, to exemplify the walk in the Spirit. Galatians 3, 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. When was it revealed? When the nuclear bomb of grace was dropped by the Holy Spirit onto our flesh through faith in Christ. When that first moment, as we've sung about, when we were walking in sin and we looked away to Christ the first time, we were released from the power of sin. We walk in newness of life. And we walk in the freedom of the Spirit. And this is the way that the Holy Spirit continues to drop the bombs of grace and the insurgence of the flesh. As we keep reminding ourselves of the gospel, as we keep looking to Christ alone for strength. It's what released us in the beginning. It's what continues to release us ongoingly. Looking to Christ, looking to Christ, looking to Christ. Okay, so we get in the picture, but he says it a fourth time, and perhaps this is clearer still. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by your observing the law or by believing what you heard? In other words, do you grow as a Christian? Do you fight the flesh by law? By trying to stir up some obedience to God? Or by trusting Christ again? He says, he's implying for the question, that the Holy Spirit does not do his work in us by us trying to get better or trying to advance spiritually on our own, by our own strength, struggling by day by day. The Spirit of God doesn't make us more like Christ by us making up some new resolution or, you know, I'm not going to gossip anymore. I'm not going to be lazy anymore, or whatever sin has got its grip on your life at the moment. No, it says there that God does his work in us and through us by simply us believing what we have heard about Christ and the cross. It's faith, isn't it? It's faith. So the way to keep in step with the Spirit and fight the flesh and overcome sin is to hear the precious promises of God about Christ and what he's accomplished and looking to them and saying, I don't know how he's going to do this, but I'm looking to Christ alone for my hope. I'm looking to the gospel alone for my strength. And as we look away by faith, the Spirit comes in and he enables us to love Christ more than our sin. Because as we gaze at Christ, we are renewed in love for him each day, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So it's by faith that we keep in step with the Spirit. It's by faith that we overcome our sin. It's by faith in the finished work of Christ. And then I said there were five, there's one more. And this really drives it home, and it lays it all out on the table. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that one of the most beautiful phrases in the Bible? He loved me and he gave himself for me. You see, Christ lives in us by his Spirit. And I grow in Christ's likeness by faith in the Son of God. As I am amazed each day, he loves me. He died for me. And as we do that, that old way of flesh and that old desires for sin, they just become so meaningless, so empty. It's like the contrast between having I don't know if you like a beef dinner, Yorkshire puds and roast potatoes, having that or a couple of sweets. You know, we tell our children that we don't eat sweets before dinner. And yet so often we fill ourselves with a couple of sugary sweets of sin, and we're so full of them that we don't desire the hearty meal of grace. And so Paul says, no, long for the meal, the gospel. Be amazed as you wake up. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Like, who am I? Why did he ever think of me? I have no idea. Each morning as the Apostle Paul wakes up, he pulls back the curtains, if he had any, he brushes his teeth, if that's what he did, and he preaches the gospel to himself. He tells himself, Christ loves me. Christ gave himself for me, the chief of sinners. Who am I? What a wretched man I am. But he loves me. And as he does that, the Spirit of God empowers him to love Christ more than sin that day. As he rests in that hope and he enjoys that and thinks about Christ's love for him, the Spirit of God gives him a responsive love for Christ so that Christ is more glorious, more wonderful, more beautiful, more attractive than anything that this world offers. I love what one author says about how do we walk in the Spirit. He's so helpful here, absolutely spot on. This is what this author says. How then do we walk by the Spirit? The answer is plain. We stop trying to fill the emptiness of our lives with 100 pieces of world and put our souls at rest in God. The Spirit will then work the miracle of renewal in your life when you start meditating on his unspeakable promises day and night and resting in them. The point of the book of Galatians is that the key to Christian living is not following a new author and new steps and the 7 steps to happiness and the 13 steps to godliness. No, Galatians is saying that the absolute key to Christian living, to Christian growth, to growth in Christ-likeness is not resolutions but Christ. Looking to Christ, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To wake up and remind yourself of the cross. To fall in love with Christ each day through his word. To think deeply about the delicious promises of the gospel. We can push each other and say, well, if you want to be more godly, you must do this. You've got to come here. You've got to say this. You've got to do that. We can push each other to do that. But that change will only last a few moments, maybe a few days or weeks. But as we preach the gospel to each other, as we remind each other of Christ, as we remind ourselves of Christ, so the Spirit does his work in us. Of all the billions of people who have ever lived on the planet, Christ loved me, gave himself for me. And when I think of that, sin seems so boring. so meaningless, so tedious, so pointless, so empty, and Christ feels so wonderful. This is the deep, life-giving idea that can transform our lives and win the battle tomorrow. We keep in step with the Spirit by feasting on gospel delights. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead us home. If you want to talk to us afterwards, I'd love to chat to you more about Galatians 5. But before we pray, we're going to sing 849. In the books, Rejoice, Believer in the Lord. I love this. I'm going to read a few verses out. Rejoice, Believer in the Lord. You know, we're not on our own in this fight. It's not about what we do. It's about what Christ has done, that he is fighting for us. Rejoice, Believer in the Lord, who makes your cause his own. The hope that's built upon his word can ne'er be overthrown. Though many foes beset your road and feeble is your arm, your life is hid with Christ in God, beyond the reach of harm. Weak as you are, you shall not faint, or fainting shall not die. Jesus, the strength of every saint, will aid you from on high. Well, let's stand and sing this great hymn together. Keep us today, keep us tomorrow, this week, until that final day when we see Christ face to face, when we shall be like him, when we see him as he is. Until that day, O God, keep us from sin. Keep us looking to Christ. Keep us loving the gospel with all our heart. And may we overcome some of the stubborn, wicked sins of our lives. And may this week we find that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see grace as so wonderful and sin as so pathetic that we will love him and not it. So be with us, O God, we pray. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.